All right, Rashad Jennings, how's life? I mean, you're dancing with the stars, you're doing esports, you're breaking the game down. I don't even know where we began. I want to get into your life, how it all began too, but first off, what are you up to? How you doing these days?
I'm good. I'm real good, man. I'm chilling. I'm in California, moving to and fro, working on project after project. Just brought in Christmas, New Year's in Mexico. Came back across the border with a new dog because I'm a sucker for things that can't defend themselves. And I saw a little precious puppy, a German Shepherd, and I already have one. So we'll see if you got any lover in them at some point. See if they breed with each other. But nah, man, life is good. I have literally nothing to complain about.
That's great. So you say you just saw a dog and picked him up?
Yeah, so on the way back, I don't know if you've been to Mexico. When you come back, right, to get in America, it's a
Yeah.
long line. In that line, you got a lot of people selling things, hats, souvenirs, whatever have you. And I saw this guy come by with a dog, and it was a lab. And I'm moving into a new spot in San Diego. It has some land. So I'm like, man, it would be nice to have another dog. So the one that I do have, his name is Diesel. It's a German Shepherd. It's a boy that he
I
wouldn't be
like
by
it.
himself and have somebody to play with. But I was like, nah, he might want to mate. I don't want to crossbreed. So I asked the guy, I was like, hey, do you have any Germans? I don't know. He said something in Spanish. Da, 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 da. Came back like 30 minutes later, because we're in the line. And
Yeah.
sure enough, he had two German Shepherds. I picked one and here we are.
Man, you got a big heart. I like it. It's
Dude, I do. I got a heart for things that can't protect themselves, man. It's weird.
My wife has been on me. She would be picking up all the dogs if I would allow it. So you're a better man than me. I've been putting the kibosh to it. No, can't do it. We got two kids and a dog already. We can't be increasing the population right now.
I feel you.
But hey, you know what? Let's start right off with the Giants of today, real quick. I mean, I guess it's an elephant in the room. Things are not good with the Giants, as I'm sure you're well aware. From afar, like, how are you taking in the dysfunction with the organization right now, and what's your read on it?
I would say it's taken a lot of bit longer than most fans would want or expect for the team to put together a product that is competitive enough to make the playoffs, at least make the push in the hunt, something. I left the last time the Giants had a winning season was when I was there. We went 11-5. We went to the playoffs, played against Green Bay, coughed up a loss, and the following year, all morale is high. We had everybody coming back, besides they cut two players. They let go of Victor Cruz and they let go of myself. They added a ton of other players, and so it was obviously, like I said, high morale, high expectations. Boys just went to the playoffs last year, they went 11-5. It seems like they added more additions, and I think they went like 5 and maybe 11. 3 and something. Like, it's just been a downhill spiral. New coaches, new GMs, trying to find the right recipes to get everybody back intact to go out there and compete. Got a freak of nature in Saquon Barkley. Try to put some receivers out there, Galloway, like making the right steps, but cannot put it together. I don't know the rhyme or reason. I'm not in the locker rooms anymore. I'm
Yeah.
not in the office. However, I do know that the Giants, and I know the owners, and they have championship mentality. So I know they, without a doubt, are going to figure out the recipe to get everybody back in order. And I know that they're giving every effort they can to put everything back in order how they want. It's just been unfortunate, man.
I know that's the big question. Are they going to be willing to just fumigate the building in every way, right? Like, get out the old, bring in the new. I think a lot of fans want that independent kind of voice to come in and get a read on the situation. Because Gettleman was there before, right? It's usually kind of somebody who's familiar, somebody who was there before. We'll see. I guess it's been bad, especially the last couple of weeks with
Yeah,
Joe
it's been
Judge.
tough. It's been tough, man. But at the end of the day, I always tell people, as a player, as an athlete, as a pro, you have to you got to find it within inside yourself to go out there and ball. Coaches call plays, players make them or don't. There has to be with inside the NFL a reason that a man wants to do a great job, even if it's selfishly. Your selfish desires actually should benefit the team. So I always looked at the makeup. I get there's no I in team, and I get the adage to create team morality, but I've always been a person of individuality first, to be honest, because you came in here by yourself and you're going to leave by yourself. Your choices, though, to create friendships, to create responsibility, that's on you as an individual. I hope as an individual you want to grow, because that's what's going to collectively help the team. So I always preach individuality, and 11 individuals working together at the same accord, that's how you get a team. That's how you win. I don't like beating people over the head. Team first, man. No team first, man. You get cut, you get traded. That stuff's a joke. Like, seriously, I love fans, man. But one thing about fans, they cheer for their teams. When I was with the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? And we played against the Oakland Raiders. I never forget. We went to the Raiders to the stadium, and I scored a touchdown in the black hole. And those fans reached over and gave me the biggest middle fingers from hell. Like, they hated me, couldn't stand me. And through free agency, the next year I became a Raider. Those same exact fans came up to me in the same spot when I was warming up pregame. And they was like, Jennings, you remember us? We love you now. You with us. And I remember looking at them. I was like, these dudes are buck wild, but I love it. And, and I laughed.
Same exact ones. Same guys.
Same exact ones. The spike, shoulder pads, the tear face and everything. And I thought to myself, this reiterates how I can't believe people expect players to be loyal to a team. Like, y'all cut us and get rid of us. Like, you're better off us being loyal to our standards and hope that we and create more standards in us. But anyway, that's a whole nother psychology.
You're absolutely right. I mean, you see it every year. I mean, the number one story all offseason, right, is Aaron Rodgers, and he's bringing the team out to pasture. There's reports he wants the GM fired. He wants to get out of there. And this whole time I'm thinking, okay, well, we'll see what happens. If he is a Packer, all these fans who are pissed off, they're going to be cheering for him. Right. As soon as that G's on the helmet, they're going to cheer for him. I mean, they go back to Brett Favre. I mean, when he was a Viking, they were booing the hell out of him. They hated his guts. Retires, little time passes. They're, filling up a stadium for his induction into the team Hall of Fame. So it is, everybody talks about culture in a locker room. That's the big talk right now with Joe Judge and the Giants. And I guess he's got to do that as a coach, but at the end of the day, you want talent, right? I mean, we can talk culture, and it probably does matter in a lot of cases. Like Mike Tomlin, absolutely, he's built a really good thing. Bill Belichick, there are good cultures in place. I get it, but I feel like there's teams like the Giants are kind of in that general state of just needing better talent. And that maybe comes back to what you're saying. Like, think about yourself at the end of the day. You kind of have to. Oh, I just lost you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and like I said, if you collectively are looking out for yourself, and it goes down to this idea of loyalty. And I had this conversation, and you probably laugh. I don't know if you're married or in a relationship, but I was talking to my girl one day, and it was her and her friends, her sisters and everything. The conversation arose of her leading to ask me about loyalty. And she said, do you think I'm loyal to you? And I said the worst answer. I said, no. I said, I don't believe people can be loyal to people, which was probably the second worst response I could say at the time, because she really didn't understand where I was coming from. So typical response, what? Like, what, some of you got to tell me, like, all these things. And I said, no, listen, my theory is this: loyalty. Humans cannot be loyal to humans. Loyalty to me is somebody's willingness to commit to their own morality. Now, what happens is I benefit from your loyalty and vice versa. She's like, what? I said, so look, I said, because again, I'm talking, to my girl, right? So I asked, would you cheat on me? She said, no. I said, cool. I said, did you cheat on your ex? She said, no. I said, would you cheat on somebody else you were with? She said, no. I see it. That proves my point. You're not loyal to me. Your commitment to your morality is what loyalty is. And I just benefit from your loyalty to something else.
I like
now,
that.
Vice versa. There are some things that I would fight for my family. It's not just because it's her. It's because the position she benefits from my loyalty. So then I said, so take that philosophy and apply it to life. People aren't loyal to individuals. People benefit from people's loyalty. And the conversation was way better. I'm glad I got a chance to explain it, because if you don't get a chance to explain
it. She got it then.
Yeah.
You're still together. That's great.
We benefit from each other's loyalty. I'll tell you that.
Any similarities to football then? Or did you see a parallel to that? I mean, because you're right.
Yes. There's a major parallel to football with that, man. And so, again, it goes back to being loyal to a team. You can't. It is impossible. You just benefit from that player.
Yep.
That's all. Because the names have changed, the faces can change, but the expectations never will. And I quote that one from one of my favorite coaches to play under, Tom Coughlin. He would always say that. He said, I used to take notes from every day. He would give me a quote that was just like fire. And one of the things he said before he left, retired/fired/ however you want to break it down, release, whatever term you need to put it in there. He said that the faces may change, but the expectations never will. And I never forgot that.
What's Tom Coughlin really like? I mean, we hear about Coughlin time and, you know, maybe we remember him at Lambeau Field with the red face. But beyond that, I don't know. A lot of people know much about Tom Coughlin. You're with him day in and day out. Kind of coach, what kind of human being was he really?
Dope, man. I loved him. He was hard-nosed. His favorite cuss word is ass. He's a family guy. He's definitely old school. There isn't fluff about him. You know what you're going to get. I loved him. I was used to that type of coach my whole entire upbringing through high school and college. My college coach, actually, Coach Danny Rocco, sat underneath Tom Coughlin at the Jets. So he picked up his philosophies. And so I was used to it. I loved it. Now, some other players, they have different stories to tell you about them, why they don't like them, but I love the dude.
It's great. Take it back to high school, if you can, Rashad. Is this true that you were a fifth string running back at one point way back in the day? Chubby, not getting a shot. Where does it all begin for you?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, that's true. I was fifth string, overweight kid, you know, glasses, asthma, 0.6, GPA at one point in time, and it was bad. I should not be in the positions that I found myself in. I should not have been in the NFL by far, based upon where I was at. You would have never picked me to play kickball on your team from high school, or pick last for pick up five basketball. Like, I was never the guy. I had a complete 180.
270 pounds, is that true? Big?
Yeah, about 275 actually was the heaviest I've ever seen on a scale.
Man, what happened then? Like, how do you go from point A to point B?
Honestly, I luck, prayer, God opened up doors that couldn't be closed. I always ask God to do things in my life that I can't take credit for. And he has. It's that simple for me. But I will say, I did put a lot of work in. You know, there's a quote that I really appreciate, and it's, get on your knees and pray like it all depends on God. Get off your knees and work like it all depends on you. And I truly picked up that philosophy and took a 180 and started taking ownership and responsibility. I stopped blaming people. I stopped making excuses. And I never turned back around. And that philosophy and energy has followed me up to
the successes that I found myself in up to today and will continue moving forward. But man, it all started though in high school. This is a quick story, like to
go ahead.
You know, zero it in. When I say I never played, I legit mean I didn't play, bro. So hold on 1 second, let me get this. So when I tell you I didn't play, I mean I used to come on the field with, instead of putting thigh pads in and knee pads in, I used to put in M&Ms, you know, Sprite, some candy. I didn't wear pads because I never played, so I looked at his pockets. And it was a buddy of mine. His name was Speedy. He didn't earn his name at all. So me and him both sucked. We sat on the sideline and had front row tickets to see the game. That's kind of how we saw it. Every Friday night, we were there live, having a good time. We high school. It is what it is. Now I'm a junior. I've never played. And it's the last game of the season. We're playing against our high school rival, Brookville Bees. We're the Jefferson Forest Cavaliers. They have a shot to go to the playoffs if they beat us. We don't have a shot no matter what. So to us, it's like our Super Bowl. We're going to knock them out so they can't go.
Yeah.
Long story short, there's a Tennessee scout to come watch our starting running back. His name was Quincy Freeman. He was really good. And Brookville had another good running back that was going to go to college to play. He was good. Samuel Guerrier. He was really good running back. So the Tennessee scout is to watch them two go at it. We get the ball, kick off, catch the ball. Offense goes out. Very first play of the game, our starting running back gets hurt. Now, my boy Speedy is excited. He's one of them dudes who's always amped for his buddies. So he's like, hey, Rashad, you might play today. I'm like, man, dude, get the heck out of here. They ain't going to put me in. Go back to eat my peanuts watching the game. Second string goes out. He gets hurt. First quarter. All this happens in the first quarter. It's well documented. I can't make this stuff up. Third string goes out. He gets hurt. You know, so Speedy once again. Bro, they might actually have to play you. Like, dude, shut up. They ain't going to play me. Go back to eat my peanuts. Now, the third string, when he got hurt, they retaped up the ankle of the first stringer. Went out there, he couldn't compete, so they're down to the fourth. Put in a fourth string running back. Sure enough, he gets hurt, right? So now we're down to the fifth, right? Speedy's over here flipping out, doing some cartwheels or something, thinking I'm about to get in. The coach scans the sidelines, catches eye contact with me, looks away, points at a wide receiver, tells him to get in instead of me.
Oh,
so part of me is I'm pissed because I'm like, yo, that's my spot. I'm supposed to be going in. The other half of me is like, phew, I ain't going in. I ain't getting hurt. Like, everybody's getting hurt for some reason. So this wide receiver goes in. He gets hurt. They are stuck with nothing but me. Coach just screams, Jenna's getting the game. He's pissed. He doesn't want to put me in. I don't know what my helmet is. You know, it's just always on the sideline somewhere. So I just pick a random helmet up. It's too wobbly. I say, forget it. They're screaming, Jenna's, get in. I buckle it up. And his mouthpiece is just dangling. So I'm like contemplating, should I use this? Nah. Jenna's, get in the game. So I just rip the mouthpiece out, throw it down. It's not mine. And I go in. We got white pants. Now all I have is residue on my pants of Skittles, M&Ms, you know, butter from popcorn. I go in there smelling like a concession stand, and the teammates say, Rashad, what the heck are you doing in here? Like, look, man, we ain't got nobody. We got to go. So call the play, first play, run play, make one man miss, make another miss, 30-yard touchdown. First play ever. So I throw the ball in the stands. Man. I get excessive celebration. I chest bump Speedy. He falls to the ground, pick his roller tail up. It's a moment. They put back the third string. He couldn't compete like I was. I performed decent on one play. They put me back in, threw a series, I scored another touchdown. Similar situation on defense is halftime. It's 14-14. Come back out halftime. Defense guys are getting hurt left and right. They put me in on defense. I come off the edge, sack the quarterback, he fumbles. I pick it up, nobody's in front of me, 40-yard touchdown. Three touchdowns. So to end the game is 24-21, Brookville's winning. All they have to do is run the clock out, fourth quarter, minute left. They have the ball, and we have three timeouts. They run the ball, we tackle them, timeout. Run the ball, tackle them, timeout. Third down. Instead of running the ball, they got cute and decided to run a screenplay. Why, I don't know. They run a screenplay, I sniff it out, I intercept it, I score a touchdown. We win. And I score four touchdowns, two on offense, two on defense, only played a total of 14 plays.
That Tennessee scout was there to watch the starting running backs, came up to me after the game and said, "Hey, Rashad, I came to watch Quincy and Sam, but I couldn't help but to notice you. Son, you wasn't even on a roster." And he said, "Well, how are your grades?" And I looked at him. I said, "Sir, I have a 0.6. He said, "Now you got to try to do some stuff like that. Like, how you have a 0.6?
Yeah.
I didn't have any good answers for him. He looked at me. He said, "Son, you have potential. Get your grades right." Now, at that time, that was the first time somebody's ever looked at me in my eyes and said that you have potential outside of mom, dad, family, you know, occasional nice people that's going to say it and it doesn't hit you. That hit me different. My two older brothers both were at that game to watch me sit on the sideline because they just wanted to support their brother, but I played. They were excited. They went to a private school to coach for free to help pay half of my tuition to go there. My parents took a mortgage against the home to pay the other half of tuition so I could go there. I went to a private school. I repeated my junior year. I took non-summer school classes, non-homeschool classes on top of the regular academics, and I stopped blaming people. I stopped making excuses, and the rest was history from there. I finally got a fresh start.
It's phenomenal. I mean, it almost sounds made up, right? Like the Skittles, the popcorn, four touchdowns, the scout, 270. You're doing this at too?
Yeah. I can't make this up, man.
Moving and grooving like that at 270.
Dude, you can go look up Rashad Jennings, a high school on YouTube, yeah, and you'll see when I transferred at the private school, how big I was.
So why did you even play football? It sounds like you really didn't even like the sport. Like, why were you out there to begin with, right? Like, why even on that sideline at that point?
So I think it was just a way of life. My two older brothers played football. They were – Brian Jennings was an All-American. He was really good, played tight end. He went and played with the – he went to college at Virginia Tech and played with the Titans, the Chargers, Patriots. My older brother played football. My dad was a football player. So I just grew up around it. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to be like my brother. So that's what threw me in it. But, no, I liked competing. And I really didn't understand the game itself. I didn't understand the politics that go with it. I didn't understand how many parallels of life is in the game of football. I was just a knucklehead out there wanting to hit somebody because I was allowed to hit somebody and not get in trouble. So sign me up.
And then you shed the pounds. I think you ran for, so you had, this is at Lynchburg Christian Academy, right? Over 3,000 yards, 56 touchdowns. And then it kind of took off from there?
Yeah, and the rest was history. I went to the University of Pittsburgh and ended up transferring because of my father's illness. He had to get one of his legs amputated at the time. I transferred from Pitt to Liberty. Liberty's 10 minutes from my home, which is a very interesting story how that all happened. But and 3 years at Liberty, got a chance to get drafted, took it. Never turned back, made the most. Like, I barely slipped in at every level of my life.
Yeah.
To get to transfer schools, like, it was at one day is why I transferred. One day, 14 plays. Just barely. Somebody was there. Then I transfer. I barely get by the NCAA clearinghouse because my grades were so bad. I didn't go in the fall. I had to go in January. Then I transferred. I was the last wave of kids that could actually transfer from one college to another college without having to set out. I don't even think I graduated high school on time. Honestly, talk because I can't do nothing now. I honestly think that I swear I saw a diploma come in from high school about 3 years ago. Officially.
Three years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do nothing now, but
so you're not really sure if you even graduated.
I don't know. I have no idea.
0.6, like you said, you got to try hard to get a 0.6, you know?
You do, man. I failed everything. I failed every class, and I got some funny stories about me and education, but that's why reading is so important to me in writing. That's why I became an author, humbled by becoming a New York Times bestseller. I love writing. I failed every English class known to mankind in high school.
I passed all my Spanish classes, but couldn't tell you a sentence. I don't understand how English works sometimes. But when I went to college, my first year, I became Freshman Writer of the Year Award winner at the University of Pittsburgh from a kid that failed every English class in high school in Lynchburg, Virginia. And I wrote a 15-page paper about the word nothing.
You wrote 15 pages about the word nothing.
Yeah, true story, man. True story. So how that happened is my first year in college, you know, first English class in college, I go prepared. I got on my backpack. I got my little computer. I got my glasses. I'm ready to learn. I ain't failing no more again. I got a fresh start. I'm in college. I'm here. Show up. English. The professor started off the class. Welcome to English. Blah, 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 blah. I'm your teacher. Blah, 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 blah. Just so you know, you guys have a 15-page paper due at the end of the semester. Write about anything you want. Put it in CLA format. Blah, 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 blah. Class is dismissed. I'm like, yo, this is college. This is kind of weird. Left. Came back the next, you know, the next two days later, and then became a actual syllable class. We went through our work halfway through the semester. She did that same thing. Hey, guys, welcome to English, blah, 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 blah. Just a reminder that it's a 15-page paper due at the end of the semester. Write about anything you want. Put it in sale. Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, dang, I completely forgot about that. And I became kind of pretty good friends with the professor. So I thought I'd be funny. I said, you know what? I ain't gonna write about nothing. I'm gonna staple 15 pages together, write my name on it, blank, turn it in, be funny, right? Just to be funny. And then I was gonna work on something. But I went home and I looked up the word nothing. And it's so intriguing. I wrote 15 pages about it. In one,
you literally wrote 15 pages. You could break the word down. Like what did you write?
Well, oh, hey, listen, nothing can go any direction you want it to. So one example that I gave about the word nothing, of trying to understand it abstractly, right? I took a philosophical route at it. If you were preparing for a brief at nighttime for the office in the morning, and you put together 10 pages for a brief, you put it in your briefcase, you put it beside the door, your umbrella, and you're ready for the day in the morning. You wake up, you shower, you get ready, you pick up your briefcase and umbrella, you get in an Uber, you go to work. Now, while you're in the Uber, you check your briefcase and you open it and you see all 10 pages that you worked on were present. That means that nothing is missing. If everything is present, then the word nothing, as in nothing is missing, what does nothing mean then? So then another perspective of it is, if you go to a horror movie and you're with a friend and you start hearing these creepy sounds, right? And you're scared, you leave, and on your way to the car, it's dark, it's scarce, and you hear something. What was that? Nothing. What? Nothing actually is an illusion in that
case,
right? And so the word nothing, we use it as a reference in the filler to describe something that we don't, in an English dictionary, have an explanation for. Or with being lazy. Hey, what you up to? Nothing. It's a lazy reference to say I'm not willing to. It's so many things that this one word actually means. It's almost like the cuss word, S-H-I-T. Like, seriously, what does that word mean?
Yeah. It kind of forced your brain to like take these twists and turns that you weren't expecting, which was probably the whole point of the paper, right? That you probably got a good grade.
Got an A. One an award by. So yeah, we were.
That's good. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Man. You said that there was a story. So when you came back home, it was your dad. So he had to have his leg amputated, you said?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That had to be pretty traumatic. I mean, to be there though with him, important. What was that period of your life really like when you came back?
It was something I felt that was right to do. I was 19 years old at the time. My family had been there for me for 19 years, and I worked really hard to put myself in a position to go to a big college, and I did. And I was a starter at Pitt. At that time, it was only four other starters that were true freshman running backs that ever in organization history, the program history, and that was Tony Dorsett was one of them. So it was cool to be in that category with his name. And now LaShawn McCoy's in there and a couple other guys. But I transferred because I love family. I really do. And, you know, I found out that the world is round. You know, you do what's right, it'll come back to you over time. And I wanted to be home, help our mom, help our dad around the house. And, you know, still I was able to go to college, get my degrees. I was still able to go to college, play football, and have my chance to go pro. So it was a win, even though at that time Liberty was like, heck, they were 1-10 when I transferred there. They were trash, dog trash. But I went there for a different mission.
Yeah. You're right. Some things are bigger than football. And was he able to kind of get through that hardship, you know, whatever transpired? Was it, I mean, I imagine he appreciated having you there for it.
Yeah, it grew our relationship a lot, man. Me and my dad, we had some adverse relationship growing up. He used to drink and smoke a lot, which triggered part of my asthma. He was in the Air Force. PTSD really had its way with him. My brothers are 10 and 14 years older than me. I was the whoops, here we go again. And I think he kind of checked out. And so our relationship was tough. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, I'm 36 today. I've never drank alcohol a day in my life. I've never smoked.
Wow.
And, you know, I had a heart to heart. My dad just, and it was just to prove him wrong. When I was hospitalized because of my asthma attacks, there was one particular time at the doctor's office or in the hospital. The doctors brought in my pops and brought in my mom. And, you know, they knew that my dad had smoked in the house and around me. And they asked my dad, sir, you're going to have to stop smoking around your son. It's triggering his asthma. He heard that. Long story short, 2 weeks later, we get out the hospital and he's smoking outside at least. But about a week later, he's right back in the house smoking. And there was one day I was downstairs and I could smell the smoke seeming through the vents. I smelt it. I started choking up. I put a pillow over my face. I go upstairs, knock on my dad's door. Doesn't answer. I open it. He's in the corner drinking and smoking like he usually does. And I looked at him. He's about like 13 years old. These big red rim glasses. Is over this fat kid, right? And just got out of the hospital. I remove the pillow. I look at him. I say, hey, Dad, can you stop drinking and smoking and be there for me? And he took a puff of smoke. Took a sip of his drink. He looked at me and he said, Rashad, what you want to do when you get older? Now, I'm kind of excited because this is the first time he's ever asked me that. And I feel like I get to have a conversation with my pops, but I can see he was being arrogant. And either way, I take my opportunity. I said, Dad, I want to play running back in the NFL. And he took a puff of his smoke, took a sip of his drink. He looked at me and said, Rashad, you think you'd be able to make it to the league without drinking and smoking yourself? Like, kind of who are you to ask me in my own home? And I said, Dad, just to prove you wrong, I'm never going to do it. And made it to the league, played running back, never drank, never smoked, just to prove him wrong. And it was funny, man. And the irony of it is that grew our relationship so close. He ended up quitting drinking and smoking, watching his little knucklehead kid prove him wrong. Like, that was a turning point for both of us. I reserved more years on his life. He gave me a new motive. And like, we became some of the best friends, man, because of those little heart moments. But and because of that, I always tell people anger is one of the greatest fuels available. How we channel it, that's up to you. I could have been very bitter. I could have been very distorted, discouraged, depressed. I could have played the card of many different mental things. But fortunately enough, I had two loving brothers that wouldn't allow that. And then two, I turned that into fuel as a chip to motivate me to do what was right.
and I'm fortunate for that. I truly am. And so me and my pops was great, man. We lost him just last year before COVID. It wasn't because of COVID. You know, I was able to buy my parents a home, allow him to live in it and customize it for his handicap. Do some real amazing things, man. Over the last 15 years, we grew a great relationship.
It's spectacular. I mean, you had every reason to be a victim. You were a victim, right? I mean, you could have really wallowed in your self pity, and we're not sitting here talking. Nobody knows who Rashad Jennings is, and who knows where you go, right? If you go that route. I mean, I imagine you're probably talking to young kids all the time about your story and about how it is up to you at the end of the day. Like you have these circumstances, your dad is doing this, but you have that conversation, you take matters in your own hands.
Absolutely. You know, and I do, I grew up with pops in the house. He wasn't available, but he was there, you know, for a good period of time. And what grew our relationship was me going to him, removing pride. You know, yeah. I fought for my dad's love for the longest time and I finally got it. And I have the hardest conversations with people all the time about not being a victim. And it doesn't start or stop with race. Being a victim is an issue with a lot of humans.
Got that, you
know,
right.
What I mean? So, you know, I definitely don't want that to be taken as a race thing. That's a human issue. And motivating people to take more ownership over their life, responsibility over their life, to look in the mirror more for those choices and answers instead of looking to point the finger. That's something I stand on. I always have. It's one of the turning points in my life, and which is why I started a football camp for kids called 180, because I took a freaking 180.
Yeah.
And so I get the secrets of life along with the tips of football.
Big South Conference record. Does it still stand?
Yes. Yes.
Your record, 3,633 yards, 42 touchdowns.
Yeah. Liberty. I'm surprised it ain't been broken, actually, because I was only out there 3 years. What's more, one record that I think will last, somebody's going to break that one. Someone will break my high school one. Hopefully, I think it's a kid there now. They got a shot. He's a freshman. So he'll have 4 years to try to work and break.
Yeah, you were suspended a couple of games too, it looks like here too. Yeah, there's a couple of games you didn't get.
The first two, which is a funny story. But yeah, man, it's one record that it's just a personal record I don't think I'll ever be touched as long as we live. And I went to LCA, which played at Liberty University Stadium. I went to Liberty University for 3 years. So I played in Liberty University Stadium. So I've accounted for, I think is 115 touchdowns total on that football field. So yeah, it's high school and college combination, but it's still that record. Who scored the most touchdowns on this 100 yard durational field? Yeah. It's Rashad Jennings. That's going to last forever.
It's insane. So yeah, can you say why you were suspended? You always hear about that in college, and it's always internal. It never comes out with anybody. You always just stays. Once in a while, it comes out.
It was silly. So I was on campus. It's the dumbest thing. I'm on campus, and if you're on full scholarship and you stay on campus, you do not get funds for what is it called? I forget the name of it, but basically for food. You don't get a stipend for food. I forget its actual term for it. But either way, any event, I'm on campus, so I don't get it. And I talked to my coach. I said, hey, look, I'm looking to move back off campus. I'm going to move back in the house. I want to stay on campus for one semester just to earn the respect of my teammates, because it was some weird rules of Liberty that you had to go through. So I didn't want anybody to think, oh, this big timer coming in, he ain't got to go through what we went through. So I went through it willingly on my own just to show these guys, look, I'm part of the team. So after that semester was up, I went to the coach's office. Hey, I want to move off. He said, go talk to the clearinghouse. I went to the clearinghouse on campus. Said, I want to move off. When does the stipend kick in? They said, the stipend kicks in as soon as you turn in your key. When you turn in your key, you go through the system, blah, 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 blah. And then your money starts. I said, cool.
left. Never moved off campus because I had a situation happen back at home. My brother was going through a divorce. He needed to crash at the house. So I was like, ah, screw it. I'll stay on one more semester. So about, I would say, well, halfway through the semester, I went to check my mailbox and I had two checks. I look and I got two checks with my name on it. I've been talking about a computer. Maybe this is an answer. So I cashed the check, went and bought a computer. And then the next month I got another check. It's like, where are these checks coming in from? So I put two and two together. It's like, they might think I'm off campus. But I didn't turn in my keys. So how would that happen? So anyway, I talked to my coach. I go up to him. I say, hey, coach, I'm getting some checks and I'm not sure where they're coming from. And because I didn't want to keep riding it out, right? And he was like, have you spent any money? I said, I did buy a computer and here's a check that I haven't cashed yet. I gave that to him. And he said, well, you might have to return the computer. I said, yeah, all right, whatever, no problem. Sure enough, like 3 days later, I get a call from the university. Somebody was just trying to do their job, I guess, really, really well without hearing the details. So they turned me in. I got turned in by my university to the NCAA clearinghouse. We could have handled it in-house. I could have just gave them $700 back. You know, it wasn't like it was, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars we're talking about. And it's their fault. I'm being a 19-year-old kid cashing the check they got my name on.
To get suspended for two games, it's like.
And it was the best thing that ever happened to me, man. I tell you, Tyler, it was the best thing that happened to me because the fact that I was suspended the first two games meant that I couldn't train with the team that whole offseason.
Oh.
So it wasn't just the first two games. I could not train with my team the entire offseason, which made me work with on my own. I found a track coach. I found a different strength coach. And I was the fastest I've ever been in my life because I trained with them. And it taught me a different style of running. So that was a blessing in disguise. It's that that panned it out in my favor.
That is crazy. Yeah. I mean, who knows if you're in the NFL for, you know, close to a decade without that suspension. Like it helped kind of jumpstart it in a way. So like Jacksonville, Oakland, the Giants, I mean, everywhere you've been, you know, for after college, you were productive. You know what I mean? It's just thinking back to random games and moments. It just seemed like every time you were on the field, something good happened, and you'd perform and kind of move on, But you did get that contract, so that'd be pretty sweet when you got to the Giants. You finally got paid, finally got rewarded, were finally like valued. But what NFL memories from 09 to 16 do you still kind of cherish to this day? And any of those three stops.
Yeah, I appreciate that. One of the main ones is just when my dad was able to come out and watch me play. He came out on a wheelchair. My family surprised me. He showed up. I think I had broke a personal record that day too. I think I ran for 170 some yards and a touchdown and played against the Texans. But I set a PR every time I play against the Texans. I don't know why they could never figure. Every time, no matter which team I played with, every time I played them, I think I might have rushed. I think I played them four different times. And I think I probably total ran for like close to 600 yards total. They could not figure me out to save my life. I don't know why they didn't pick me up in free agency.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, why didn't they just sign you?
Every time we played them, I broke a PR. So it was good to have him there for that. Oh, the Hail Mary play that I witnessed when I was in Jacksonville, David Garrard threw it to Mike Thomas. That was crazy to witness. Yeah. Everybody left the stands. He just threw a Hail Mary. It fell right in Mike Thomas' hands. We won. It was a surreal moment to witness that. Another surreal moment was watching Odell Beckham Jr. turn into a celebrity overnight in front of the world. Like that was dope. Man, I got to see. So Odell is he came in as a rookie, right? And he was injured. And now he's trying to figure it out. How to take care of his body and the do's and don'ts. You know, I kind of took him under my wing a little bit when it comes to how to take care of your body. Now, I don't take no credit for that man's talent, but I pulled him aside. He would start to, come warm up with me before practice, stretch a certain way. I gave him a little warm up routine, and I started to see him elevate and become more comfortable with the game. Like, this dude was unreal dominant. Like, I've never seen an athlete up close and personal be able to do what he do outside of Justin Blackman, which is a sad story. Dude, I got to see two wide receivers that was unreal. Odell Beckham Jr. and Justin Blackman. Justin Blackman, he might be, if he could have played, he might have been broke way more records than a lot of other people. But
he's just written off as it never was. I don't know if anybody realizes that. So he could have been special. Like, you saw moments in him.
Yes. Yes. One of the best I've ever seen. But he just had some hardship going on and things outside of the lines of football. But Odell, I just watched him grow as an athlete and kind of figure it out. And it's cool to see. It's really, really, really cool to see and watch a puppy grow up. You know what I mean? Like, I got a little puppy. It's cool to watch them grow up and become their own. You know, you don't take credit for it, but it's just neat to see. And I got to see Odell become this celebrity. I think it was a time after he made that catch. I remember before we went out to practice, he had maybe 600,000 followers. We come back out of practice, there's 1 million point something, come out of a meeting. 2 hours later, now it's close to 1.5 million. The next day, it's 2 million. I watched the world start to watch this kid. And he locked it right beside me. So it was cool to see it all transpire.
I don't know if there's many in my lifetime, how many athletes in any sport just became celebrities overnight like that. I mean, really, with one play.
Yeah.
One moment, and then boom, just like that, the world knows who you are.
Right time and everything.
Yeah, that had to be insane to be there with him through that.
Bro, New York, right time, and his personality. He loves the camera, and the camera loves him. It works. It's a great marriage. He knows what he's doing. He's a great athlete, good kid, funny. He loves people. There's a lot of great things to say about him that the media never really covers about the kid. But, it's been fun. It's been fun from a distance watching his career grow and then him as a person. And then too, he's a freaking rock star. He's not just a really good athlete people follow. He's a rock star. Fashion, hip hop, culture. He's not just a football player and why people follow him. So it's been neat.
Yeah. I get, he's out of Cleveland now. He's with the Rams. He's got an opportunity. Right. I mean, how much left does he have to give, you think?
He's just getting cooking.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I think he's just getting cooking. I think Odell is smart. Our conversation we had, he's a smart man. He understands business. And I think personally, I don't know this, but I would assume him getting how football works is his best commodity is being healthy. In Cleveland, he didn't tax his body, but so much, honestly. It was a lot of, he was battling some injury getting back. That gave him rest. He didn't have the prosperous career as he could have in with the Browns. That gave him more rest. I think mentally he probably was drained more than physically while he was in Cleveland. Now he's somewhere mentally, he's probably enjoying himself. He's on the West Coast. Plus, he's still young. He's still Odell. He's still a freak of nature. He's still a team player. Anybody that's played with him has nothing bad to say, just media. He's loved in that locker room. Sean McVay knows how to work with young players. And I think he may have found a home and a combination of other athletes in there that he could play as long as he wanted, man.
Interesting. I think he's been written off really by most people. I think if that's the outcome, it would probably surprise a lot of people if he turns into what he once was and then some.
Yeah. I think he's going to just be that consistent established player that has production, and because of who he is going to make it seem more than what it is. But yeah, I think he will be a player as long as he wants to and compete.
Super Bowl prediction for us here. Who do you got? Would you go that far?
So I'm biased. I like the Arizona Cardinals. I've always been an Arizona Cardinal fan since I was 6 years old. So I'm glad we got something moving over there. So I'm biased there. However, you can't write off Brady. You can't write off the Rams right now. I don't think anybody wants to play Cincinnati. They figured out something there.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez.
The Cowboys have pound for pound one of the best offenses. Now, I don't know what Dak's been doing lately, but I'm pretty sure he'll figure it out. So you got Kansas City. That's Kansas City. So it's wide open this year. It's hard to predict, man, on this one.
Yeah.
And the Colts.
Yeah, it's matchups too, right? Like it. I mean, I live here in Buffalo, New York, and I mean the Colts just physically dominated the Bills. But then now the Bills are rolling. Now Josh Allen, I mean, he's running over people himself. They're scoring at will one way or another. The defense is doing enough. So who knows if they were to face again, what would happen? It's been like that all year, though. This whole season's just been kind of batshit crazy week to week. So
whoever's going to win is whoever picks up Antonio Brown. That's who's going to win the Super Bowl. That's my
prediction. That's pretty crazy situation right now. I mean, it's like they're not – I don't know when people will be listening to this or reading this, but right now, like he's on the team, but they're not released. It's like, if you don't want him, release him. I'm kind of interested to see if another team will take a chance on him.
Yeah. I don't like what head coach over there said. He said he's no longer a buck, that he wanted to talk about the players that were here. Respectfully, I understand that.
I get that, right. You know, but which we saw that was, you know, insane, but
totally understand that as a head coach, but you lie. And because he's still a buck. So yeah. That's just not the truth. All right. Now I can't call it a lie because I don't know if he deliberately said that. He probably sincerely with all his heart is like he's done. So I can't necessarily say it's a lie. It's just not the truth. So that's tough. I wish they either let him go or let him play. I'm not mad at AB at all. I personally am not. He left the game. He was mad. Who knows why? I wasn't there. You wasn't there. We can speculate. There's rumors about him not they're trying to hold his incentives. So then someone would argue, if they are trying to hold your incentives, why wouldn't you go in the game to produce? Well, he's hurt, he's injured. If you go out there and not injured and you get hurt, then you can't perform to get your incentives. You get let go, they can cut you. It's these all these weird rules that come into play. Who knows? So I'm not getting into that detail, but I'm not going to judge him on his past. The man left the game and wanted to go home. I ain't mad at him. That's just that simple. I'm not mad at AB.
Very, very normal. I wouldn't have done it, but exit from a game.
Yeah.
Happened all the time.
Yeah, I mean, he exited. It'd be different if he went through the stands or something. That man went to the locker room,
right?
And was trying to get a flight up out of there. Look, I've been inside of a movie theater before, and I got tired of watching the movie, and I left.
There you go. No big deal.
To me, it ain't a big deal that he didn't want to play anymore. And so what is he going to do, sit on the sideline and irritate people? Like,
It is on Tampa Bay. Like, you should know that you shouldn't be surprised if something like that happens with Antonio Brown. Really, whether justified, not just whatever. Like, you know what you're taking on. Yeah, you signed up for it.
Yeah, 100%. You're not getting in the ring with Mike Tyson and confused while you get knocked out.
Exactly.
So I'm not mad at AB, man. I hope. And people like to quickly talk about his mental health and how he's this and that. Man, AB, for all we know, could be a genius, and he got everybody else tripping. He could have a master plan behind all this. He could have a brand coming out. It ain't no telling what AB could be doing. So I'm not going to judge that man at all. I hope he's good. I hope he's healthy. I hope he gets picked up. I hope he does what's right for his family, because at the end of the day, everybody else's opinion is not going to matter.
I just was hoping he'd pull a George Costanza and just show up to work like the next day, you know, like nothing happened. Just pretend like this.
That's
just
what I want. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that'd been funny.
I want to see a show out of it.
Hey, man, this has been unbelievable. I can't thank you enough. Where can people find you? What are you up to? We didn't really get into, you know, what you're doing today, but what should people know about Rashad Jennings these days?
I'm at Rashad Jennings on every single platform available. Also, follow me on Twitch, Rashad Jennings 23. I will be streaming and co-hosting Thursday Night Football games all next season. I am hosting the wild card too. I think it's the 16th or the 17th of this month. But yeah, tune in. Just go to twitch.com and type in Rashad Jennings. You'll see me chopping it up with football in the background. So I'm having fun with life. I started an esports organization. And so if y'all can gang, if you consider yourself a gamer, hit me up.
We did one of these with Amon Green recently, man. He's teaching it out there in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. So I didn't even know you could teach this stuff in college. It's blowing up. It's huge.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, everybody find Rashad. And man, hey, we can't thank you enough for doing this. That was a lot of fun. Thanks for taking an hour here.
Oh, for sure, man. We'll talk to you.
You got it, man. Thank you.
Peace.